a little too quiet. It's the Ferndale Library Podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. Today, we're talking to a member of Ferndale's City Council. That's Raylan Leakes May, also the Mayor Pro Tem. Just entered her second term, actually. Raylan Leakes May has been a Ferndale resident for more than 25 years. She's served in a variety of instrumental professional roles within the community. And of course, as a mother of five, a frequent library user in her life. But we wanted to get a voice from the City Council onto this podcast during what is, of course, such unprecedented times, and get you a picture of what the leadership of the city has been up to over the last 5 months. They have been working, albeit remotely, but they have continued working. And we were really excited to talk to Raylan Leakes May because her whole life has been about helping others, really. She has been, volunteering early on, got onto the school board, and that got her into City Council. And she's still doing a number of other things for the community, which she winds up talking to us about in the interview. So inclusivity is very important to her. But we also talked about a lot of the big decisions that Ferndale City Council has made over the last few months here, as the world has gone through so much change and confronted so much uncertainty and confronted so many other things. And this is our chat with Raylan Leakes May. Over these last 4 to 5 months, there are a number of words that are fitting, even if they've been repeated, such as unprecedented, uncertain, often overwhelming. So we were eager to have a voice from Ferndale City Council join this podcast, share any insights and even any candid thoughts about the experiences of collaboratively leading a city through these extraordinary times, and especially as Ferndale moves ahead with actions that will commit to anti-racism. But since this is a podcast, we also want to chat, and we also want to get to know our council members. So welcome to the podcast, Raylan Leakes May, City Council and Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
I'm always curious to know, because much of your life has now been dedicated to local government, can you talk about what motivated you to become involved? Back to even before City Council, you were on the school board. Can you talk about that?
I had no idea that I was going to be involved in local government. You know, I was a parent. I'm a parent in the community, mother of five.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you that all of this kind of stemmed, I guess, from being a volunteer in the schools.
Okay.
I started with the Head Start program, the preschool program, when it was held at Grant Early Childhood Center. I got involved in just committees and learning more about how the school system worked and just volunteering. I can honestly tell you that all of this stemmed from my volunteerism. There was a vacancy on the school board, and I got with a couple of parents and we talked about it. And we talked about what we would like to see happening with the school board, with the schools. And I went out for that vacancy. I did not get the vacancy at that time, that appointment, but I did become more involved in the committees affiliated with the school. And at maybe a couple years later, me and a couple of other parents got together again, and we decided, you know, there's some things that we'd like to see some changes. There was a divisiveness in the schools, and we'd like to be a part of not being a divided educational community, but more of an inclusive one. So me and four of the parents, we decided to run, and successfully we did. We changed some things in the schools that I'm very, very proud of. One being making the schools more inclusive as far as consolidating the schools. No more separate programs, giving children the equal opportunity to learn at their pace, but having equal opportunities as before. There was, if you want to consider it, there was a better school program and one that was not as good. At least that was the perception. And I was really wrapped up in the middle of that because my oldest daughter, Ashley, was involved in that whole arrangement. She's 32 now. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have been able to come back years later and be able to fix that divided program, help with some great school board members is an honor to me. So
yeah.
I wouldn't change it for the world. And that's one of the most things that I'm proud of is the consolidation of the schools and making more education opportunities for kids. I guess at that point, I was just really motivated to be involved and stay involved in my community and do and be involved in collaborative efforts to move our community forward, whether it be in the schools and now, whether it be in the with the city. So I guess it's a long answer to your question, I know, but I started as a parent.
Yeah.
I started being involved.
Yeah.
I got involved with the schools. There was an open, when I felt like we had done as much as we could do with the schools at that point, which was a whole lot of work, let me tell you, there was an opening on the city council and I wanted to further be involved at the city level.
Yeah.
And that opening allowed me to do that. And it's why I sit here today as a council member.
Right on. It's inevitable. Our first questions on these podcasts tend to be the big ones, the multi-bullet point question. But maybe you could talk about what aspects of the experiences of volunteering and then being involved with the schools might have prepared you for then serving, going on two terms in city council.
I can say that as a parent and being involved, you get to know a lot of other parents. Mm-hmm. You get to know what they want. You get to know what they need. And you get to know what their concerns are. And I can honestly say that over the years, I simply listened to what the community wanted and some of those things I wanted as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I built relationships with the community members. And because of that, they have grown to trust in my leadership. And for that, I'm really grateful and humbled. And that is testament to them electing me to the school board, electing me to the Ferndale City Council, and then re-electing me to the Ferndale City Council. So I'm truly grateful.
Mm-hmm.
For that support. And I hope I don't disappoint them because I take my job very seriously.
Right on. So I'll play devil's advocate and say that I'm imagining there's plenty of aspects of being on the city council that might not be so fun and might be tedious, but what are the good parts? What are the fulfilling aspects? What have you enjoyed about term one before we get into term two?
When I was elected to Ferndale City Council, it was exciting and it was scary because there was so much more to learn. Governments run similar, but different at the same time. I was very grateful for the department heads to really mentor me as I got elected. I don't know if people know that, but they mentored me. Every department head, I was able to go and learn about what they were doing, how they were accomplishing things and how they made me feel comfortable in my role because I was terrified.
That's being refreshingly open about the situation. So
that my first term on Ferndale City Council was one of learning.
Yeah.
One of becoming comfortable in my role and learning what the community needed and wanted. It was also, those were the great points, being able to be involved in that, knowing that people trusted you and trusted you to help lead their community forward. Some of the not so great points about that is that you cannot please everyone. And I had to learn that.
Right.
You know, I used to be the type of person where I wanted to do great by everyone. And I've had to learn that that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope this community knows that I do my best and all of my decisions, everything that I bring forth I'm really thoughtful in my thinking process. And I just want you to know that I don't go into this lightly. It takes, sometimes I'm up at night thinking about the issues that are coming forward. So I just want this community to know that I'm really thoughtful in my process and that I'm really trying to do what's best for the community collectively and recognize that it's not about me and it never has.
Right. You know, the inclusivity has always seemed very important to you.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, we've had librarians on this podcast who have talked about what their experiences were like being, you know, in a library or part of a library staff during something that is unimaginable, such as a global pandemic. And I think that for the most part, the library staff is demonstrate, or they've said that it kind of felt like it brought them closer together. Obviously, everyone had to stay in touch via Zoom, but it's a very trying time. I think it bonded the library staff. What was it like? You know, you're in a role of leadership. You're on a team of leadership. What was it like being on a city council in the middle of such an unimaginable event?
Oh, my goodness.
How'd you get through it? Still an ongoing saga, but still.
Still an ongoing saga, but a learning experience nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of this council for still trying to maintain the business that the community business as far as I'm just, when you talk about this pandemic, I still can't believe we're in it.
I know. And I've lost track of time. I still think it's March 12th.
Exactly. But city business has still gone forward. I think that's important for the community to feel as if some sense of consistency amidst this crisis. So meetings are conducted as usual, as normal. And I think they're even more open, I think, than before, because these Zoom meetings are open to everyone. And I think we've had even more participation from community members via Zoom than we had as far as face-to-face conversations. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, I can say that business is still going on as usual. If we have to do any sort of walkthroughs for projects like the DOT, we are using our personal protection and being as careful as possible, still listening to the residents. They still have ways in which to reach us. So the only difference is, not including the pandemic, is that we're all doing this virtually now and not in person. So business will continue, and I'm just proud of the group. I'm proud of council. I'm proud of the department heads still being open and flexible during these times.
Yeah. Something I'm proud of when it comes to Ferndale, and then by extension, the city council, is that I can't remember if it was a year ago or 18 months ago, by gauge of everything is thrown off, but I still recall how Ferndale made the step to declare itself a sanctuary city. This was another issue in the last 2 years. But it reminded me that Ferndale is such a, you know, not only a proactive city, a proactive city council, but very humanitarian. And then that brings us to the council's declaration of commitment to anti-racism. I know that that's developing, but can you talk about what you've observed of that, and why that's important, and just how you're feeling about that?
So the purpose of that declaration against racism, one, to build a sense of solidarity among the community. We have a Black community, Black and brown person community, and the percentage is small, but the Ferndale City Council declaring against racism is ways to show that those community members, that Ferndale's committed to recognizing racism as a public health crisis. We want to be cognizant of the traumas that racism can cause, and we want the anxieties and the effect that it can have on individuals, such as myself. I'm a mother of 5 children. We want the community to know that we stand with them regarding this. We recognize racism, and we are exploring ways in which to make Black and brown individuals, our Black population, our brown population, know that we want to be inclusive. We want to hear your concerns. We want to build relationships. And we want Ferndale to be known as that community that won't stand for racism, that wants individuals, whether you be students, community members, employees, employers, visitors, to know that this is a welcoming community and you'll be treated with respect when you come here. So I think that's the stand that the council is trying to make. And it's growing. There will be other things that come out of this this declaration. I plan to be right there involved with it, and plan to, and I'm open to any suggestions that community members may have, because I don't perceive to know everything. So I need all the help that I can get, because this is, the fact that we're in this day and age where racism seems to be growing is, unsettling. It's unsettling for me as a parent. I mean, as parents, we want to let our children go out in the world and know that they're going to be safe. But I can tell you that Black parents and brown parents alike, we have to think over and beyond than just letting them out in the world. We have to prepare them for things that may happen that all of the other parents may not have to prepare their children for. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm proud of the community, and I'm proud of the city for taking stances. These rallies and these protests have just warmed my heart. And I look forward to continuing to keep this declaration alive. It can't just, it's not another piece of paper. It has to live. It has to live on. And I'm committed to making that happen.
You know, I asked about just, I guess, emotional or mental experience of kind of going through a pandemic when you're on a city council, even setting aside all the tragic events that were around Memorial Day, as we are now getting even close to August now, which is strange to say out loud. We're now looking back on, you know, five-ish months of operating and operating inside of a pandemic. And I guess, can you talk about some of the things you've taken away from that, or some of the things you've just learned or picked up? Tell us about that. What have you learned from all these strange experiences?
This pandemic has been just a really learning experience for me. You know, I'm in a household with all of my children. They're not in school. They're all in the household. My oldest daughter is now in the household as well. So this is a full household in some small spaces. I work from home now. My daughter works from home now. In fact, we all do. My children had to continue the rest of the school year from home. And it was a balancing act and stressful. And there were times when I just felt so disconnected with my community. In fact, I remember speaking with another council member and saying that I miss being out there, because that's what people have known me to do and be, that person that's out there and connecting with the community. And now I feel like I feel like that's been restricted somehow. So these last few months have been ones of kind of emotional roller coasters for me. Some days I'm up and some days I'm down. But I tell you what, on the days that I'm down, it never fails that some community member may reach out to kind of check on me, or I'm checking on others, and just really making you feel as if we're all in this together. So we are. We're all in this together. And I really appreciate that. As far as working from home, what has also helped is the type of work that I do. So not only am I a mom, a full-time mom, not only do I serve on council to the best of my ability, I'm also a resource specialist for the Area Agency on Aging 1B, where I help seniors or adults with disabilities find resources in their community. And you can imagine that the calls in which we've received have been escalated
right
amidst this pandemic. So I'm proud to say that we've serviced so many seniors, so many adults with disabilities, whether it be food resources, whether it be personal care resources, putting them in connection with ways in which to get personal protection, you name it. All of that helps, because I know that I'm helping others increase their quality of lives. And that, I guess that kind of helps me get through what's happening here, to know that I'm helping others. And that's, I don't know how else to put it. I'm helping my children through, community members are helping me through. So working together is what's keeping us forward. And it's been some months, and I'm actually not scheduled to go back to work in the office until probably after September. But working from home, we're still getting the job done. Work, family, council, we're still getting the job done.
Yeah.
Just like you all.
Yeah.
You found ways to still help the library run, you know, with your innovative thinking,
sure.
Your creative thinking. So
sure.
It's just ways in which to adapt and cope. And we can do that.
Oh, that's great. That. With everything you just mentioned, the phrase actions speak louder than words came to my mind, because it is one thing to be on a board at the council and at a meeting and talking, but your life is action. It's
yes.
Actions will speak louder. You're on a library podcast, so I have to ask. I know that you've lived in Ferndale almost going on 3 decades now, but
yes.
Go back to your maybe childhood memories. Can you talk about libraries in your life? Did they make an impact? Do you have any memories on this library podcast? Please do.
So my oldest daughter, Ashley, is 32.
Mm-hmm.
And I can recall, you know, there was a time when it was just me and her. I was a single mom with Ashley living in Ferndale in an apartment. And I can think about how we utilized the library all of the time. I mean, if I had to give a visual of the stacks of books that we returned and picked up every Saturday, it would be like this. I don't know. Some days we read all day. And one of my fondest memories of the library is when I think the library director back that time might have been Mary
Trenner.
Yes. Ashley won a contest at the library for reading, I think, over 400 books, similar to the programs that you have here now.
Sure.
And it was just amazing. We were frequent flyers, let me tell you. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a supporter of the library since then. In fact, when I was on the school board, I love being a part of those conversations mm-hmm. for Ferndale, the library to become a Ferndale Area District Library.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of the collaboration that the Ferndale Library has had with the schools, mm-hmm. coming into the schools, getting kids signed up with library cards. All of my children have one, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And we still utilize this library to this day. And as a council member, I hope to always be of some support of an institution that I feel is just valuable to this community.
Yeah, and obviously I am biased as the host of a library podcast, but when I think of, and this will tie into a question as we wrap up here, but I have to say that when I think of libraries, and you probably agree, I think of equal access to opportunity. Yes. And that's also something that I know is very important to you, especially to young folks. And making yes. sure they have an opportunity to potentially get to the table and get opportunities. And then that takes us back to a happier time in our lives, or a more normal time in our lives, I'll say. January and February of this year, before everything closed down.
Yes.
January right. and February, we had these great programs. We were going into the schools. Our youth services librarians were engaging the teens and sort of meeting them, but also engaging them. It was called Pizza and Politics. Obviously, we wanted to get the teens with some pizza. But then we had leaders like Raylan Leakes May meet with the teens. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on remembering about engaging with those teens, or even just the importance of engaging the youth in general.
I was thrilled to be asked to do that. Meeting with these teens and the questions that they had was just made me hopeful for the future, because we have so many leaders that are just developing their leadership qualities, and the fact that they wanted to hear from me and learn from me just means everything. And I just hope that my words encourage these young leaders to just move forward and just be involved in civil service in any way, or public service in any way that they can. Any time that I'm asked to come into the schools to speak to these young students, I am honored and I jump to it. I make time for it because it's important. And Pizza and Politics, that was just, I don't know what else to say other than the way that these students were engaged and listened, and the questions that they asked just really made me hopeful for the future. I actually hope to be able to do it again. I did it at the Ferndale High School, but I'm happy to do it anywhere because I love to be involved, and I love encouraging these young minds to move forward because they have a voice. When we're all done, when this is all said and done, and I'm no longer on council, I look at these voices and these individuals coming up and taking the helm. So if I can mentor and support in any way, I'm all about it. I'm all for it.
And I know you'll be ready, because yes. these last 5 months, as this conversation has revealed, is that you and the entirety of City Council have been making sure to not lose momentum. And when things are back to normal, we are going to have more programs back in the schools, and we are going to get you back. It's going to be great.
I would love that.
Raylan Leakes May is a City Council member, Mayor Pro Tem of Ferndale, and we were so glad to have you. Thank you for being here on the Ferndale Library Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Anytime, and anything I can do to help, please let me know.
That was Raylan Leakes May, City Council member and Mayor Pro Tem here in Ferndale. She's had lots of experience with so many other committees here in Ferndale, strategic planning, finance, operations, and evidently a appreciator of libraries, as you could tell by our conversation. That was great to have her here on the podcast, which is called A Little Too Quiet. It's the Ferndale Library Podcast. I'm Jeff Milo, and this is brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. If you want to support this podcast, you can go to ferndalefriends.org. And you can donate to support, or you can just like, subscribe, or tell a friend. Coming up in the rest of season 2, more conversations just like this one. We appreciate you listening. It's a little too quiet.